All right, so let me ask you if you've ever experienced where somebody just gets in your head asking you questions about, not just asking you questions, but really challenging you on your faith. You know, why do you believe in God? Why do you go to church? Why do you read the Bible? Why? And I kind of think of it kind of like how the serpent went in the garden and got in Eve's head and, you know, started challenging everything. You know, did God really say this? Did God really say that? And sure enough, Eve bought into it. Now, worry about us buying into some of the things the world is saying. The classic one: if God is omnipotent, can God make a rock so big that he can't pick it up? You remember that one? I haven't heard that for a long time. And my response to that has always been, "That's stupid." All right, there's probably a better response, but that's been my response. These things that people say, you know, is Jesus the only way to heaven? You know, what about Buddhism? What about Hinduism? What about Islam? What about all these other religions? You know, they suggest the Bible isn't true. They somehow say it in such a way that they know something you don't know, and then they kind of leave you thinking that you've just been brainwashed, you've just been indoctrinated, you've just bought into a bunch of things that your parents told you. We're beginning a new study today. We're going to be in 1 John. And I love the book of 1 John. It's an awesome book. It was written by a man named John. I didn't know if you saw that coming or not. This would be the same John the Apostle, the brother of James, the son of Zebedee, you know, the sons of thunder. You remember them? So he John gave us the Gospel of John. He writes 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. So this is who we're talking about here. And his audience is to the church, to believers, people who know the truth. And yet they're listening to things they shouldn't be listening to. They're hearing things they don't need to be hearing. And so the purpose of the book, the main purpose of this book, is to reassure his readers of the truth so that they have conviction, so they have assurance. He's trying to solidify their faith. This is what Christianity is. This is what Christianity is not. And today we're just going to be looking at the first four verses in 1 John. 1 John's towards the end of the Bible here, not the Gospel of John. If you're new to Christianity, I got to make that distinction here. So just let me read the first couple of verses here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Goes on, second verse, the life appeared. We have seen it, testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Right there, just it's so rich with some good stuff here. Talking about the word of life, we proclaim, you know, we're proclaiming to you concerning the word of life. And John's message is this word of life. He's talking about Jesus. It was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. This is the same way he starts out the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, verse 1, I have it up here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, meaning Jesus, was with God in the beginning. Do you get that? Jesus was with God in the beginning, before all creation. Meaning Jesus is eternal. Jesus has no beginning. He will have no end. He's not a part of creation. He's the source of creation. All life comes from Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is eternal because Jesus is God. There's no time when Jesus was not. That foundational principle number one right there, we've got to understand this about Jesus. He's always been there. But this is what John really wants to make note to us. He appeared to us. In verse 2, the life appeared. Once again, this goes back to the Gospel of John. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He's saying the same thing. This is the same way he began the Gospel. The life was made manifest, is the way the English Standard says it. The eternal life became visible. He appeared. He became flesh. Jesus, who is God, became man. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? And all that comes with becoming man, when you are God, when you are worshiped, when you have it all, and he walks away from all that to come here to the earth as a humble baby, poor, no place to lay his head. This is Jesus. Why would he do that? He did this to make himself known to you and I. He appeared to man. Verse 2, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Another thing that I think is so important here, this word of life is the source of life. It brings life. I really want us to understand that. This is why Christianity is so important. This is why we come to church on Sundays, why we study the Bible. I want you to understand what Jesus offers. And it's beautiful. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father. And go back to the Gospel of John. In him was life. Jesus is the word of life. Jesus brought life. Jesus brought eternal life, abundant life. Life which comes from the Father, which comes only from God. What I'm trying to say here, you cannot have eternal life, abundant life, a good life apart from Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of people are trying it. And this is a lie that a lot of people are buying into. They would even tell you you can have a better life apart from Jesus. It's a lie. It's a lie. I want you to see, we walk through the Gospel of John here. Nicodemus, you remember the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3? This is what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. But what? Have eternal life. And we all know that verse. And that just gets us started. You go to the next chapter, John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Remember that story? This is what Jesus told her. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. This is what Jesus wants to give you, a well of water that springs up to eternal life. In the healing at Bethesda, the Bethesda pool, Jesus says this here, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me, Jesus is offering you eternal life. You go to the feeding of the 5,000. This is in John chapter 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. The Feast of Booths, this is in John chapter 8. Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. He who follows me will have the light of life. That's what Jesus is offering you. Follow him, you get the light of life. The sermon on the door, the good shepherd, you remember when Jesus talked about that he's the door, he's the good shepherd. It says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You get to John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give eternal life to them. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Do you know him? Are you following him? Are you listening to him? If this is true, he's offering you eternal life. The word of life is offering you eternal life, abundant life. The resurrection of Lazarus, this is what he told Mary and Martha. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? He asked them this. I want to ask you this. Do you believe this? We will never die if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Even if we die, we will never die. You know what that means? Our bodies will die, yes, but our spirits, our souls will live forever. In the upper room, in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said this, I am the way and the truth and what? and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I need you to understand this. I need you to see. I need you to cherish this. Jesus came to bring life. True life, eternal life, abundant life, spiritual life. In John 14, verse 16, it says, "Because this is what Jesus says, because I live, you also will live." And I like how it says it in the Message. In the Message, it says, "In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive, and you're about to come alive." I love that. And this is the hope. John says it, the whole Gospel of John. This is the point that he's making. You get into 1 John, the Epistle of John, and this is how he closes it in 1 John chapter 5. This is what he says. He says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." All right, so I'm just trying to set the stage here. What Jesus offers, what is so important about Christianity, this is it. This is it. Jesus is awesome. And John is testifying about this. Go back to verse 1. It says, this is what he says. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." So he's saying, we've heard, we've seen, we've touched. So the evidence here, when you think about all that John heard, he personally was there to hear all of Jesus' teachings. He was there and heard all of Jesus' incredible claims and promises. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He heard the I am statements. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection of life. All these, John heard that. All the parables of the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the parable of the talents, all these parables. John heard these parables. The promises, when Jesus says, "I will be with you always," John heard that. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. John heard that. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." John heard that. "I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." John heard that. He heard the very words of Jesus. And this is what he wants to see. It's so important. It is so good. And he said, "I heard it. I want you to understand. I heard it with my own ears. And not only did I hear it, I saw it. I saw the miracles. I saw the feeding of the 5,000. I saw him heal a paralyzed person, sick people, people who had leprosy, people who were demon-possessed. I saw all that. I saw Jesus raise a boy from the dead. I saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. I saw Jesus raised from the dead. And I saw Jesus transfigured, and I saw Jesus ascend into heaven." John saw all that. And we have looked at. We've looked at that. It's more than I've seen. I comprehended. I grasped who this man is, that he's more than a man. He is God in the flesh. And it changed my life, and it can change your life, and the world needs to know this. This is what John is saying. And not only we have touched him, Jesus is no phantom. No ghost, no, he's real, he's physical, flesh and blood. Before the crucifixion and after the resurrection, John is saying, "I touched him." Why is all this important? Everything I just said here, why is all this important? And John deals with this a lot here, because people have gone into the world saying, "No, he hasn't. It's not true. It's make-believe. It's made up." The many deceivers, is what he says in 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. And he says there's many of them, many deceivers. They don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. So I want to talk about this heresy that was going on 2,000 years ago, still here today. People saying that the Word of God has not appeared. When John is emphatic about it, the Word of life has appeared. And these heretics are saying, no, it hasn't. Jesus isn't God. That's one of the things they might say. Jesus is not God. Or that Jesus is not man. And people have fought over that. You know, the history is like lots of history over this here. Fighting is Jesus really man? They would say, no, he can't be man because man is, you know, that's flesh, and flesh is dirty, and flesh is evil, and flesh is wrong. There's no way that Jesus, who could be 100% God, could become man. This is not true. And John he's emphatic. Yes, it is. And you've got to understand that John writes in 1 John 2, verse 18, children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard about that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. Many antichrists. They're anti-Jesus Christ. And these are the people who are whispering in your ear. And you got to recognize who they are, what they're doing, putting doubt in your head, making you uncertain, making you unconvicted. It says in 1 John 2, verse 22, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You get over to 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see that? You need to test the spirits. They start whispering in your ear. They start saying things to you that doesn't sound right. That sounds a little fishy to me. And you can go one of two ways. You can stop it, and you can stand your ground with certainty because John has heard, he's seen, he's touched, and he's telling you. And you know that John walked with Jesus Christ. So you can believe what John is saying, or you can believe these heretics who are in your ear and go the way of Eve, basically. So all these heretics, from John's perspectives, all these heresies, all these heretics, false prophets offering up views of what it might mean to be a Christian, these views that aren't Christian at all. There's no shortage of variation today of, you know, what the gospel is, who Jesus is, what the Christian life is. And the problem here, it's led to a generation of Christians who are timid and confused, uncertain, no conviction. That's not a good place to be, is it? Especially how our world is falling apart. For you to be timid in your faith, that's not good. Our world loves to question everything. Everything is relative, they say. It might be true for you, but it's not true for me necessarily. Everything, you know, it's all these heretics get in our head, and you go 10 rounds with a heretic, and you can't answer what they're saying. Does that happen to you? They spin everything, and you have no good answers. You can't dispute it. So it just leaves you messed up. And this is what the devil does. He puts doubt, he puts confusion in our heads. He leaves us timid, afraid, confused. 1 John 2:26, these things I have written you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. I want you to understand, this is why John is writing this. I'm writing this because there's people out there trying to deceive you. I need you to be certain. I need you to be sure. I need you to know that you know that you know. 1 John 3, verse 7 says, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the work of the devil. John knows what is true. John knows what is false. John is pretty black and white. He's not confused about anything. And our world hates that. The world hates it when you're so when you're black and white, and they would call you dogmatic and intolerant, and the world would hate the book of 1 John. And I think John knows that. He writes in 1 John 3, verse 13, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. When you are convicted, when you are passionate, when you are certain, oh, the devil can't stand that, because he knows then you are powerful. So John gets it. He's confident. He's dogmatic, and it's not popular, but it's necessary. And he wants to help us to be just as certain, to be just as black and white. The purpose of his letter is to restore believers, to give us confidence, to give us conviction, to give us assurance. He says, I've heard Jesus. I have seen Jesus. I have examined Jesus. I have touched Jesus. In his message here, he's proclaiming Jesus. This is what he says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at with our hands and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it, and we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Oh, so I see three times he says we proclaim. One time he says we testify to it. Another time he says, I'm writing this. I'm doing anything I can so that you know this, so that you hear this, so that you see this, that Jesus is the word of life. All that Jesus has to offer us, none of it was held back. None of it was hidden. You get somebody talking in your head, oh, you need a special revelation. You need a special blessing. You need this. You need that. And it leaves you confused. John is giving us all of it. The church gets all of it. Why? Because John reveals why they pass it on to us, so that we may have fellowship. So that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus tore down the veil between us and a holy God, an unholy people and a holy God. Jesus tore down that veil. He took us all directly to the Father. Every member of the church, every believer gets all of it. Every believer receives all of the life of Jesus Christ. Every believer receives all of the Spirit. Every believer receives all the benefits of Christianity. Ephesians chapter 1 says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with all of it. So don't let some heretic come along and get in your head that you don't know something that you need to know. You don't know enough. It's not true. Don't know. They're heretics. They're antichrist. They're deceivers. John's motive. He says, we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. The word of life brings us fellowship. That's a big word I want to talk about. Fellowship. I mean, the church I grew up used to have a fellowship hall. A lot of churches have a fellowship hall. I guess I grew up most of my life thinking fellowship was all about casseroles. You know, that's what fellowship was. And they had a koine class, and koine is a Greek word for fellowship. And, you know, I just assumed, you know, that's a class where people just got together and ate casseroles. So what is fellowship? I worry that we've diminished what fellowship is, that it's just hanging out together. And there's an element to that. We hang out together because we love one another. Why do we love one another? What's so special about fellowship? Well, it's fellowship that John is proclaiming the word of life so that we may have fellowship with one another, with him, with each other, and with God. This thing, fellowship, it's triangular. When my life abides in Christ and your life abides in Christ, then my life and your life abides together. See how that works? I'm living for Christ. You're living for Christ. We're living life together. Fellowship with God is the point of Christianity, that we would all walk with God. And if I'm walking with God and you're walking with God, then naturally we have these things in common. We have a common Savior. We have a common message. We have a common destination, eternal life. We have a common purpose to proclaim the gospel to a world that's living in darkness. And this Jesus' prayer in John 17, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. What is that? That's fellowship, that we may be in Christ. So the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one. What is one? That they may be unified, that they may have fellowship. We are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be perfectly united. It's in fellowship that we have this common spiritual life. We share this the Holy Spirit living inside of us, unified for our love and our devotion for Jesus Christ. This is why, in many cases, our relationships with our Christian brothers and sisters can be stronger than our relationship with our family. And family is so important throughout the Scripture. But remember what Jesus says, this is back in Matthew chapter 12. It says, while he was speaking, his mother and brothers were standing outside and seeking to speak to him. And Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? Who are them? For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, that is my brother and my sister and my mother. Family is so important. But the truest, deepest, most fulfilling fellowship there is not between necessarily people who share the same DNA, but between people who share the Holy Spirit. What an awesome thing that is. In Acts chapter 2, the new church, it says when they received his word, they were baptized, and that day they were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. They all had all things in common. They couldn't get enough of each other. This fellowship is a beautiful thing. And John's purpose in writing this letter is so that you and I might have fellowship with God and with one another. And this is what the heretic wants to take away from you, wants to rob from you, when it puts doubt in your head, and what happens, the result of that, is you stop walking with God, and you stop walking with your brothers and sisters in Christ when you start buying into the lies. That's what John is writing to prevent. It, not only is it fellowship important to him, but this joy that the Word of Life offers. The Word of Life offers fellowship, offers joy. We write this to make our joy complete, is what John says. And one of the first real practical benefits of the early church experienced by putting their faith in Jesus Christ was the joy of fellowship. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, what's that fellowship? He will bear much fruit. If a man remains in me, abides in me, he will have fellowship with me. He goes on in John 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It all starts from abiding in Jesus Christ, the source of true abiding life, abiding joy. Once again, this is what the heretic wants to take away from you. The joy of walking with Jesus Christ. The joy of having fellowship with another. The two more verses I want to give you here. 2 John chapter 4, 2 John verse 4 says, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. No greater joy. So I say all this here to say, a few things going through my head. How important the Word of Life is. The Word of Life is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus wants to give us, life, eternal life, abundant life, true life, which results in fellowship with God, walking with God. God wants you to walk with him. I think Jake alluded to this during communion. We need to be abiding in Christ. What does that look like for you? How do you do that? How do you walk with Christ? How do you have fellowship with God? If you have fellowship with God, we naturally have fellowship with one another. A beautiful thing. Is that happening? So you walk in fellowship with God, you stay in the Word of God, you stay prayed up, you go to church where we see each other, where we're growing together, where we're worshiping God together. You do all these things. Anything that you can do to abide in Christ, make that priority number one in your life this week and every week of your life, to abide in Christ. And as you do that, you have fellowship with God. And as you do that, the fellowship that we have with one another grows stronger and stronger and stronger. If you're not walking with God and I am walking with God, or if I'm not walking with God and you are walking with God, we're not going to walk together. We're not going to have fellowship together. And that should break our hearts. So strive to abide in Christ so we can have fellowship with God, so we can have fellowship with one another, so we can have joy, and so that we can have life. The Bible says when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you believe, you are justified, you are forgiven, you get true, eternal, spiritual, abundant life, you get fellowship with God, you get fellowship with the children of God. You get it all. You get it all. Don't let anybody try to take that away from you.